Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
8 o'clock, Sports Radio, 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. Let's say hop aboard as we are just about 24 hours away from an Eagles game tomorrow night at home against the Giants, and it is the weirdest division I've ever seen, and it's a game for the Eagles and a run starting tomorrow for the Eagles of NFC East opponents that will shape the season. Let's talk about it with Elliot Shore Parks. Of course, he's brought to you by your Tri-State Toyota dealers, proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Elliot, how you doing tonight?
Hey, what's going on, man? I know the NFL world is excited to see this NFC East in prime time tomorrow, so it should be a fun time.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure everyone is just can't wait outside of this area to watch this game, but we'll watch it, and we're excited for it. And Elliot, I want your thoughts on what I've been talking about tonight. I think for tomorrow night, the Eagles need to get Jalen Hurts on the field more. I'm not sure what the number of snaps is or what the right number is, but make him more a significant part of the offense than we've seen so far, because without Miles Sanders, and I'm not sure what we're getting out of Deshaun in terms of snap count, I just don't see how they have guys that can make explosive plays. We know Hurts can. The offense has been more efficient with him on the field rather than when he's not. I want to see more Hurts tomorrow night. What do you think?
Yeah, so I don't disagree with you that the offense has been at its best this year in a lot of ways when Hurts has been on the field, right? They average more plays, yards per play when he's out there. I think that's the only time they've kind of looked like excited and explosive on offense. But to me, it reminds me a lot of, and I guess it was a long time ago at this point, but when the Miami Dolphins first started to use the Wildcat offense, and it worked for a few weeks, and, you know, it was surprising and it caught defenses off guard, but eventually people learned how to stop it. And I think with the Jalen Hurts package, maybe tomorrow night it can be effective, but eventually teams are going to start preparing for Jalen Hurts. Right now they have the element, they have the benefit of surprise on their hands. When he goes out there, teams don't spend a lot of time preparing on what to do. And to your point, he is maybe their most explosive player. So I know the Giants are spending time this week figuring out what to do when he's out there. Ultimately, this team is going to go as far as Carson Wentz takes them. Jalen Hurts is not going to be a huge part of this team making the playoffs. They need to learn how to move the ball with Carson from the pocket with these receivers. And honestly, in a primetime game, I don't love the idea of Jalen Hurts coming in and out of the game all the time and the potential drama that could provide. In terms of Carson Wentz and his job security.
Well, drama would be there, that's for sure. Another thing that is going to be there, unfortunately, and you mentioned that they'll go as far as Carson could take them, assuming he could be on the field. Elliot, he looked banged up on Sunday. He got hit a lot. And, you know, he's on pace to get sacked 66 times. We can add up the hits. They're going to be way bigger than that. I just don't know if he can survive the season like this. And I keep going back to this thought. Like, he doesn't get hit when Hurst is out there. The way the play is, like, the way it's designed, he's just not getting beat up on those plays. Are you starting to worry? Do you think the Eagles are starting to worry about Carson making it through the season? I know that part of why they drafted Hurts to have an insurance policy, but I for the first time, really, since a couple of years ago, I'm starting to wonder if Carson could actually get through a season healthy, because he's getting hit a lot.
Yeah, your point about him not getting hit when Hurts is out there is an excellent one. I think that is one benefit of it. Well, what's weird about Carson is I think that, and rightly so, that the label of injury prone has kind of followed him the last few years, right, with the ACL, the back injury, concussion's not his fault, but just, you know, it seems like he's had trouble staying on the field. But on the flip side of that, he is a quarterback that is tough. I mean, you've seen these last few weeks. He takes big hits. He gets right up. He's not really afraid of contact. So I think it's encouraging that he's been able to withstand this type of, you know, punishment and not be hurt. But I agree. I mean, the way, you know, the way he's been hit, I think any quarterback would have trouble remaining healthy. I don't think it's like an injury-prone Carson thing. I just think the amount of hits he's taken in a physical sport, and especially with the way injuries and go for the Eagles, yeah, I mean, I would be concerned about Carson's ability to stay healthy.
Yeah, he is tough. There's no question there. We agree on that. It's just I just wonder if he can handle this. Elliot Shurepark's joining us here talking Eagles. We get set for the game tomorrow night. All right, Elliot, DeSean Jackson, it sounds like he is coming back. What do you think that means? Like, what's your guess on what his role is? Because in week one, he was out there and seemingly healthy, but he was kind of on a pitch count. Do you think DeSean is back, or do you think he's back and kind of part of the rotation tomorrow night?
So I think you're still going to see a lot of Travis Fulgham. You're still going to see a lot of Greg Ward. I think what's really going to impact DeSean coming back is the snaps that were going to John Hightower. You saw last week John Hightower managed to get open deep down the field twice. One time he caught it, one time he didn't. Now, you would think that DeSean would catch that first ball that went to Hightower against the Ravens. So I do think you'll see DeSean take those snaps. I think you'll see them try to get him involved in the game early against the Rams in week two. They didn't get him involved early and made a concerted effort to do that in the second half. So I think you'll see shots deep to him. I think you'll see short passes. You will see him get a lot of targets early, because one thing I do think is true about DeSean throughout his career is when he gets involved early, when he gets going, you see a different player. It's when he doesn't really get the ball that, you know, he is frankly becomes less effective and sometimes less interested, in my opinion, when you watch him. So I think they will try to get him involved early, and it will come at the expense of John Hightower snaps.
Elliot, when you look at tomorrow night in the game, look, the Giants only have one win. The Eagles only have one win. I know they haven't played well, but they always seem to beat the Giants. Like, I feel like the Eagles are going to win this game tomorrow night. Where is your head at? I know you're, I guess tomorrow we'll see your pick, your prediction for the game. But where's your head at right now with the matchup? The Eagles have owned this thing since, what, I think the last loss to the Giants was Wentz's first start against them, maybe October of 2016. It's been a long time.
Yeah, so I think Doug is 7-1 against the Giants. And I think overall the Eagles since 2014 have won something like 11 out of 12. So they do not lose to the Giants often after that rough stretch, early on. I think it was with Kerry Collins, maybe the quarterback, when they never seemed to be able to beat the Giants. So they have had the Giants number. The concern I have about this matchup is I think that the Giants are just a little bit better than people think. I think coming into the year, we all viewed them as going to be a train wreck. We all thought Joe Judge was going to be a terrible head coach. And I think, you know, they're certainly not a good team, and Joe Judge has a lot to prove, but they've been competitive. They've been in almost every game they've played this year. They're coming off of their first win. Daniel Jones turns the ball over a lot, but he's also capable of making some nice throws. And I think he has he's a frisky quarterback, I would say. He can make some plays. So I don't know if the Eagles are good enough to blow anybody out, so I certainly can't pick them to win by a lot. So I think the Eagles are going to win. I think I'm going to pick them to win by 1 point, though. I think this is going to be close. I see something like a 23-22, 22-21 type of score. But I do think they win the game.
Ugly football Thursday night. At least it'll be close. That feels like a good recipe for tomorrow night. All right, Elliot, let's talk about roster acquisitions, potential ones. The trade deadline's coming up in a couple weeks. A former starter in Buffalo, an offensive lineman, got cut today. And there's conflicting reports out there of what Howie might do as this next couple weeks unfolds. Here's what I find hard to imagine. I find it hard to imagine Howie Roseman, in a year where they can win the division, would actually be a seller. Like, maybe it's the right thing to do. I just can't imagine he would do that. I think it's buyer or nothing. What do you think about this deadline and moves they could make?
Yeah, Howie's never shown that he's going to be a seller. He's made a trade, a quote-unquote, I guess, buy trade the last 3 years, where he's tried to improve the roster and given up draft assets to do it. But the thing about selling is, what do they even have really to sell off? I mean, maybe you trade Zach Ertz, but I don't think now that he's injured, I don't know how much you would get for him, and I don't think it would be a smart idea. I just don't really see the players out there where they would trade him, and I would say, okay, yeah, they're selling, because I don't think they have a lot of tradable assets. So I think you will see Howie go out there, try to be aggressive. The label of buying, I mean, you know, don't give up a third-round pick, but if you can go out there and acquire somebody for a fifth-rounder that you think can come contribute to this team and help them get to the playoffs, I would be okay with that. At the end of the year, if Carson went in the playoffs and is able to complete a playoff game, that's a successful year in my opinion. You can't have Carson go into year six of his career with no playoff experience. So if that means giving up a fifth-round pick to acquire a veteran that can help you this year, I'm okay with that. I would give up a first-round pick, a second-round pick. Like, I wouldn't do the Golden Tate trade again for a third-rounder. But I would be okay with going out and getting a veteran if it's a low-level low-level cost from a team that actually is selling off talent.
Elliot, a lot of people this week, there's been a lot of conversation on the station. I talked about it yesterday, afternoon yesterday, I think midday today, about, like, what's better for the future of this franchise? You know, whether it is a top-10 pick, I think you put up a poll the other day, a top-10 pick or, you know, winning the NFC East. And It's amazing how many people just are checking out or don't seem to have any interest in winning this division. And here's the counter I have to that. Like, haven't we seen already a couple times that Jeff Lurie is not, you know, results-based when he thinks a change needs to be made? Like, last year they rallied, they made the playoffs, and they still made Doug fire his offensive coordinator, fired it for him. And then, you know, we go back to the end of the Chip Kelly era. I remember we talked about that a lot. It wasn't like Chip's record at that time was a fireable offense. Like, it wasn't. They were 6-9. They had two winning seasons the first couple years here. He fired him because he thought it was the right thing to do. Results be damned. So I feel the same thing. Like, just because they make the playoffs at 6-9-1, I don't think it would fool Jeff Lurie if he really felt like he had to make a real change.
Yeah, I think Jeffrey Lurie is going to assess this situation regardless whether it ends the playoffs or not. So I do agree with you on that. I mean, now, what's better for the franchise? The answer of what's better for the franchise is always going to be what's better for the franchise quarterback. And there is no question that Carson Wentz carrying the team to the playoffs is better. I mean, look, after the first 3 weeks of the season when they were 0-2-1, there were real questions about how good Carson Wentz was. And not just locally. I mean, this would turn into a national conversation. He was the worst quarterback in the league for the first 3 weeks of the year. Now, he's improved over the last 3 weeks, and you've seen the team improve because of that. So if the Eagles make the playoffs, even if it is at 6-9-1 or whatever, and I actually think it'll end up taking about 7 or 8 wins to win the division. I don't think they'll remain as bad as this. But if Carson, for the second year in a row, is the reason they make the playoffs, then you can enter 2021 feeling good about your quarterback position. If this team really bottomed out, they finished 4-11-1 or whatever it would be, then you have concerns about the quarterback. And that's the last place you want to be in the NFL. So would it be nice to get a top 10 pick for the Eagles? It would, but it would be better to feel confident about your franchise quarterback and to get him that playoff experience. And that's why I think it's not even close. This team is better off winning the division.
Yeah, I think they feel the same way. Elliot, I always appreciate you hopping on. We'll be listening to the pregame show tomorrow night, reading you on 94WIP.com. A lot to come. A big game tomorrow night. Elliot, we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you later, Joe.
There he goes. Elliot Shoreparks, 94WIP.com, the Go Birds podcast. Yeah, I don't believe they're going to sell. I mean, I would have traded Zach Ertz to that last week. He's hurt now. But I don't believe. It's impossible for me to believe that with a division race there for them, Howie Roseman would sell. It is the opposite of the way that guy operates. It's just, it's not him. He is not a guy that sells. He buys. That's Howie Roseman. Now, one thing today, then we'll go back to the phone lines, 215-592-9494. One thing today that kind of flew under the radar the Eagles did, and I think it's significant, and it reminds me of something I said about Carson Wentz about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. So the Eagles restructured some contract stuff with Fletcher Cox. They open up about, what, $4 or $5 million of cap room. They could roll that over to next year. And before the season began, and we know the Eagles have salary cap issues moving forward. We know they're in as bad of a spot as anybody for next year. Part of it is their own doing. Part of it is the revenue loss because of COVID. They're not going to see that bump that the salary cap usually has to help them out. So they're in a bad spot next year. And I said before this year started that this is, you know, in a lot of ways, a make or break season for Carson Wentz because his contract number explodes next season. And the easiest way for the Eagles to free up extra cap room next year is to restructure Carson Wentz's contract, spread it out, change the structure of it. That, of course, would mean they're committed to him longer. Like, if you look at Carson Wentz's deal right now, there's an out after next year. If he plays lights out the next 10 weeks and he's great, I guarantee you they're going to restructure his deal, free up cap room, and take away their out after 2021. It'll be done. If he plays like he has for the first 6 weeks of the season, I guarantee you they will not do that. They will keep their out in his contract and not handcuff themselves for the future. So, like, the Fletcher thing, it's important. Like, it is important to do that and help the team, but that makes it more likely a guy stays here longer. I thought about that today. Well, because Carson's the obvious one to do it with. He makes so much money moving forward. Like, if they feel great about him, they'll restructure that thing. 215-592-9494. That is a board. Let's talk to Doug, who is in Connecticut. Hey, Doug.
Hey, man. Just thinking about, you know, a trade. If there's one thing I would do if I was Howie, and I don't know what it would take, but Trufant from the Falcons, if you could get another corner on the other side of the field across from Slay, and even maybe think about Avante Maddox back at safety somewhere, just to get a little more speed at that position. I know stopping the run might be an issue too, though. But that's one thing that I'll be okay with. I don't want to give up much, but that's one player that I was just thinking about hearing you guys talk.
Yeah, it's an interesting name. He's been a good player, and I always like looking at teams like that, right? Because they're done. The Falcons are done. They already fired their coach. It's over down there. And I'm sure you could probably get him. Like I can't imagine it would take more than. I mean, that could end up being like a pick swap where you don't even give up a real pick. You just swap picks in like the fifth round or something. I would do that.
Okay, so Jalen Hurts. I've said enough about him this week. But one thing, did you see him get drafted? Did you see Doug talking on the phone to him the night he got drafted?
He was ecstatic.
The look on his face told me two things. He had a lot to do with that pick. And if I was in that room, I would guess he's saying, Jalen, you're not just going to be a backup. And you're going to be a big part of this. You're going to be a part of this offense. What's an average night for an offense? 60 plays, 50 plays?
Yeah, it's probably now because teams try to run a lot of plays. I would think it's probably in the 60s now on average.
I would put him out there 8 to 12 times. That's just a number that I think. I mean, you've seen it kind of ramp up more, right, in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's just something about that pick and the look on his face that night that told me whether it's a what if Carson gets hurt, we have a guy that's going to still scare people in the playoffs or in the regular season. We can still get to the playoffs with a guy like you. But there's just something about that pick. You know, I'm just ready for Thursday night.
I can't wait, man. Yeah. And I think they will get – I think they are going to get in a role here. Doug, I always appreciate the phone call. I think for as bad as things have been, like, the Eagles winning the next three games would not shock me. Would it shock you, Tucker? Three wins in a row?
No, they should be favored the next 3 weeks. I mean, they play the Browns. Browns have been playing well.
They'll be underdogs in Cleveland, unless the Browns fall apart or Baker
or they look good. But, yeah, I mean, between Giants, Cowboys, Giants, you're playing three games against teams that currently have one win. You should be favored in the next three games. You should win these next three games.
Yeah, the Dallas line will be interesting. I think that's probably close to a pick 'em. Let's say Dallas beats Washington this weekend. They have three wins. Eagles are 2-4-1. Cowboys 3-4. The game is here. That feels like pick 'em. Like it feels like that's nobody's favored by more than a point or two. You know, regardless of which way it goes. So at worst, it's a favorite pick 'em favorite the next few weeks. That's where the Eagles are. They should get in a role here. As far as what Doug said, like average plays per game, I just pulled it up. So Dallas leads the NFL 76.2 offensive plays per game on average. The Eagles are actually seventh in the NFL in offensive plays per game, averaging 67 plays per game. Right smack in the middle is Tampa Bay and Green Bay, around 64. So let's say the average is about 64 plays per game. So Doug said 8 to 12 plays for Jalen Hurts. I'd play him more tomorrow night. I would get him on the field 15 to 20 times tomorrow night. If you're going to have 64 plays, 15 to 20 plays, you know, between a quarter and a third of the plays, I want him on the field. He's the most explosive player, not including DeSean Jackson, who is coming back tomorrow night. He's the most explosive skill position player they can put on the field with Carson Wentz. Get him out there. And I hope the Eagles aren't shy about it. And Elliot mentioned something about national TV and kind of causing an uproar or buzz. I go back to this. The Eagles made this bet when they drafted Jalen Hurts. Doug just mentioned the look on Doug's face when they drafted Hurts. I remember we were here that night. We were doing the show live as they made the pick. Doug Peterson was very happy. The Eagles were very happy. They're thrilled to have Jalen Hurts on this football team. And in a perfect world, they wouldn't have to use him much because they could let him develop as a backup, maybe a few plays here or there as a gadget thing. And away we go, and we'll see where everyone's career goes the next couple of years. But they're not in a perfect world right now. They're in a very imperfect world because they need help. They need help at every single angle and every single way. Look, if they had Miles out there, if they had Alshon and Deshaun and Jalen Reagor, and Carson Wentz was playing great this season, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So there is a very simple way for Carson Wentz and the Eagles to not need to use Jalen Hurts in the way I'm suggesting. Play better. Score points. Be more efficient. Complete more passes. And then no one, not me, not anybody else, will say, yeah, we need to see more Jalen Hurts on the field. I'm saying it because I think it's the only way to score points and move the football, as you saw last week. 215-592-9494. We got a lot to get to moving forward here in the show. We got Lance Beto, who does pre and post for the Giants, coming up at 9. We'll ask him about, is that team better? Elliot said, maybe they're better than we've seen in the past couple of years. I don't know what they're coming in here with. It's kind of a nondescript Giants team. No Saquon Barkley, obviously. Daniel Jones can run, but he fumbles even more than Carson Wentz. So I don't know what kind of Giants team is coming in here. We'll find out coming up at 9 o'clock. And I'm going to play something for you when we get back. We talked about the Cowboys mess last night. Ryan Clark, ex-Steeler, was on ESPN today. And sometimes you hear something and someone says something and it's just put in the most blunt and just simple way possible. And that oftentimes is the right way to describe something. Ryan Clark had the best way I've heard to describe what the Pittsburgh Steelers are. Excuse me, not the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what we play for. The Cowboys, what they are. We'll talk about that and hear it coming up. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And hey, it's Joe Giglio. There's $1,000 up for grabs every single week with the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. Sign up today at radio.com/picks and just pick the winner of each week's games. No point spreads, no lineups, and totally free to enter. It's a brand new game every week of the season. So sign up right now, and you've got a shot to win $1,000 this week. Right now, you compete against me. I am tied, five-way tie, atop the Entercom leaderboard. I have 63 correct picks this season of whatever amount of games there's been. So doing pretty well, but you compete against me, try to beat me. Make your picks there at radio.com/picks. It's the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. Rules for this nationwide contest available at radio.com/picks.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.